1220 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Good evening, and welcome to Civic Media News live coverage of President Biden's announcement to the nation that he will not run for re-election. This is a development that we've known since Sunday afternoon, and at that time, the president said that he would address the nation in the days to come with more specifics about his plans. And that moment comes in just a short time, we're assured. President Biden will say in this speech that his decision not to run for re-election because he wanted to pass the torch to a new generation, according to reporting from CNN. Here's a quote. "I have decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. That is the best way to unite our nation." Biden will reportedly underline that his goal is defending democracy. "The defense of democracy is more important than any title. I draw strength and find joy in working for the American people. But in the sacred task of perfecting our union is not about me. It's about you, your families, your futures. It's about we, the people." The United States has not found itself in this moment in 46 years. It was 1968 when Lyndon Johnson announced that he would not run for re-election in a speech that surprised the nation and changed the course of that election campaign, certainly. More quotes from tonight's speech, according to excerpts gleaned by CNN. "The great thing about America is here, kings and dictators do not rule. The people do. History is in your hands. The power is in your hands. The idea of America lies in your hands." The Kamala Harris campaign got kicked off in earnest in Wisconsin just yesterday at a rally in West Dallas, attended by 3,000 people, one of the largest, if not the largest, rallies held by the Democratic ticket since the Biden campaign launched its effort. We'll have more quotes now from President Biden, and here he is now from the White House.
"And thank you for joining."
Just a few minutes away, not too far. But again, "The great thing about America," quoting from the Biden speech, "is here, kings and dictators do not rule. The people do. History is in your hands. The power is in your hands. The idea of America is in your hands." We now go to the White House.
"My fellow Americans, I'm speaking to you tonight from behind the Resolute Desk in the Oval Office. In this sacred space, I'm surrounded by portraits of extraordinary American presidents. Thomas Jefferson wrote the immortal words that guide this nation. George Washington showed us presidents are not kings. Abraham Lincoln, who implored us to reject malice. Franklin Roosevelt, who inspired us to reject fear. I revere this office, but I love my country more. It's been the honor of my life to serve as your president. But in the defense of democracy, which is at stake, I think it's more important than any title. I draw strength and I find joy in working for the American people. But this sacred task of perfecting our union, it's not about me. It's about you, your families, your futures. It's about we, the people. And we can never forget that. And I never have. I've made it clear that I believe America is at an inflection point. One of those rare moments in history when the decisions we make now will determine our fate of our nation and the world for decades to come. America's going to have to choose between moving forward or backward, between hope and hate, between unity and division. We have to decide, do we still believe in honesty, decency, respect, freedom, justice, and democracy? In this moment, we can see those we disagree with not as enemies, but as friends, as fellow Americans. Can we do that? Does character and public life still matter? I believe you know the answer to these questions, because I know you, the American people. And I know this: we are a great nation because we are good people. When you elected me to this office, I promised to always level with you, to tell you the truth. And the truth, the sacred cause of this country, is larger than any one of us. And those of us who cherish that cause cherish it so much, a cause of American democracy itself, must unite to protect it. You know, in recent weeks, it's become clear to me that I need to unite my party in this critical endeavor. I believe my record as president, my leadership in the world, my vision for America's future, all merited a second term. But nothing, nothing can come in the way of saving our democracy. That includes personal ambition. So I've decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. That's the best way to unite our nation. You know, there is a time and a place for long years of experience in public life. But there's also a time and a place for new voices, fresh voices, yes, younger voices. And that time and place is now. Over the next 6 months, I'll be focused on doing my job as president. That means I'll continue to lower costs for hardworking families, grow our economy. I'll keep defending our personal freedoms and our civil rights, from the right to vote to the right to choose. I'll keep calling out hate and extremism. Make it clear there is no place, no place in America for political violence or any violence ever, period. I'm going to keep speaking out to protect our kids from gun violence, our planet from climate crisis that is the existential threat. And I will keep fighting for my cancer moonshot so we can end cancer as we know it, because we can do it. I'm going to call for Supreme Court reform because this is critical to our democracy, Supreme Court reform. You know, I will keep working to ensure America remains strong and secure and the leader of the free world. I'm the first president in this century to report to the American people that the United States is not at war anywhere in the world. We'll keep rallying a coalition of proud nations to stop Putin from taking over Ukraine and doing more damage. We'll keep NATO stronger, and I'll make it more powerful and more united than any time in all of our history. I'll keep doing the same for our allies in the Pacific. You know, when I came to office, conventional wisdom was that China would inevitably surpass the United States. That's not the case anymore. And I'm going to keep working to end the war in Gaza, bring home all the hostages, and bring peace and security to the Middle East and end this war. We're also working around the clock to bring home Americans being unjustly detained all around the world. You know, we've come so far since my inauguration. On that day, I told you, as I stood in that winter, we were stood in a winter of peril and a winter of possibilities. Peril and possibilities. We were in the grip of the worst pandemic in the century. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. The worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. But we came together as Americans. We got through it. We emerged stronger, more prosperous, and more secure. Today, we have the strongest economy in the world, creating nearly 16 million new jobs, a record. Wages are up. Inflation continues to come down. The racial wealth gap is the lowest it's been in 20 years. We're literally rebuilding our entire nation, urban, suburban, rural, and tribal communities. Manufacturing has come back to America. We're leading the world again in chips and science and innovation. We finally beat Big Pharma after all these years to lower the cost of prescription drugs for seniors. And I'm going to keep fighting to make sure we lower the cost for everyone, not just seniors. More people have health care today in America than ever before. And I signed one of the most significant laws helping millions of veterans and their families who are exposed to toxic materials. You know, most significant climate law ever, ever in the history of the world. The first major gun safety law in 30 years. Today, violent crime rate is at a 50-year low. We're also securing our border. Border crossings are lower today than when the previous administration left office. I've kept my commitment to appoint the first black woman to the Supreme Court of the United States of America. I also kept my commitment to have an administration that looks like America and be a president for all Americans. That's what I've done. I ran for president 4 years ago because I believed and still do that the soul of America was at stake. The very nature of who we are was at stake. And that's still the case. America's an idea stronger than any army, bigger than any ocean, more powerful than any dictator or tyrant. It's the most powerful idea in the history of the world. That idea is that we hold these truths to be self-evident. We're all created equal, endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. We've never fully lived up to it, to this sacred idea, but we've never walked away from it either. And I do not believe the American people will walk away from it now. In just a few months, the American people will choose the course of America's future. I made my choice. I've made my views known. I would like to thank our great Vice President Kamala Harris. She's experienced, she's tough, she's capable. She's been an incredible partner to me and a leader for our country. Now the choice is up to you, the American people. When you make that choice, remember the words of Benjamin Franklin's hanging on my wall here in the Oval Office, alongside the busts of Dr. King and Rosa Parks and Cesar Chavez. When Ben Franklin was asked, as he emerged from the convention going on, whether the founders had given America a monarchy or a republic, Franklin's response was, a republic, if you can keep it. A republic, if you can keep it. Whether we keep our republic is now in your hands. My fellow Americans, it's been the privilege of my life to serve this nation for over 50 years. Nowhere else on earth could a kid with a stutter from modest beginnings in Scranton, Pennsylvania, Claymont, Delaware, one day sit behind the resolute desk in the Oval Office as President of the United States. But here I am. That's what's so special about America. We're a nation of promise and possibilities, of dreamers and doers, of ordinary Americans doing extraordinary things. I've given my heart and my soul to our nation, like so many others. I've been blessed a million times in return with the love and support of the American people. I hope you have some idea how grateful I am to all of you. The great thing about America is here, kings and dictators do not rule. The people do. History is in your hands. The power is in your hands. The idea of America lies in your hands. We just have to keep faith, keep the faith, and remember who we are. We're the United States of America, and there's simply nothing, nothing beyond our capacity when we do it together. So let's act together, preserve our democracy. God bless you all, and may God protect our troops.
And that is President Joe Biden speaking from the Oval Office in the White House, making his announcement that, quote, I have decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. That is the best way to unite our nation. You've been listening to Civic Media News special coverage of President Biden's address to the nation about his decision not to run for re-election. We will have more coverage and discussion and analysis all day tomorrow here on your local Civic Media radio station. For all of us here at Civic Media News, good night.
It was more just at the absurdity that this girl is on the path to fame because of one thing she said that went viral. It's the absurdity of our culture and social media. Like a day or two after she did that, I think it was Luke Bryan pulled her on stage and she did the Hawk Tua thing and people went nuts. It was like a Simpsons episode. Well, she might be done. Or maybe coincidentally, Conrad, everybody in that crowd happened to miss the Hawk Tua thing. And they just don't know what she was talking about.
I don't know about that.
I doubt it too. I did feel bad a little bit. But come on. You want to be a comedian? Go earn your chops. Go hit some open mics. You want a reality show? Think of an idea beyond Hawk Tua that makes you interesting. Haley Welch is her name. I'm not even talking to Haley. I'm talking about the people that created all this merch. And it's the whole thing is nauseating. All right, Hawk Tua, so what else is going on? We got Margarita Day, all kinds of
Tequila Day.
So yeah. I immediately go to Margarita. I thought, all right, Conrad, you're a sports fan.
Yeah.
And you were a player of sports, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. What did you play, football?
Football, basketball, and baseball.
I know you played football because you said football, not football. Football. I played football.
Football.
You played basketball too?
Yeah.
Nice. What was your position?
I played left bench.
Hmm. Well, that's more important than right bench for sure. You're more likely to. I ask you because I saw this yesterday on another thing Todd shared. The Atlanta Falcons drafted actor John Wayne in the 17th round of the 1972 NFL draft. In 1972, John Wayne was 64 years old at the time. But the Atlanta Falcons wanted to symbolize that they valued men who were tough. I wonder if they knew he had dodged the draft at that point. They didn't want to value men who were tough. They wanted to value men who portrayed tough men. They didn't go out and get an actual... It's like the Bill Burr joke. You know, in Philadelphia, they have a statue of an actor who played Rocky. When they have an actual Rocky story, Joe Frazier... who won the heavyweight title. They didn't have a statue of Joe Frazier. They had a statue of Rocky. That's the symbol of Philadelphia. And I love that. Listen, nobody loves movies and TV more than me. But be real. Celebrate them for what they are. But drafting John Wayne, he must have got his ass kicked in camp, don't you think? 64?
I guess they might have cut him because did you see him play a snap?
I did not. And he ran like a 10.640. So he didn't really, he didn't have a shot. And I think they knew that. And I appreciate that. But like, you know, in 1972, you could have drafted like Richard Roundtree or Gene Hackman. One of these like guys who kind of were tough in real life too. And maybe John Wayne was, but I know a lot of his mystique has been debunked a little bit. Great actor. But that's what he was, an actor. So there you go. All right, Matt Gable will be here at 7:35. He's the general manager of the Meyer Theater, the beautiful Meyer Theater here in downtown Green Bay. We'll talk to Matt at 8:20. Jake Snell is coming up, a very funny comedian who is based in Chicago now, but a Wisconsin native. And our question of the night, it's a good one, folks. What's your drive-through story? I shared way too many of mine, but I want to hear yours. What is your drive-through story? You can let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I try to call your name, but every time it comes out the same. Here comes my baby. Here she comes now.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy, and this is your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about using coupons to save on prescription drugs. Pharmaceutical coupons are different than coupons at, say, the grocery store. I am not talking about saving you 50 cents on a box of mac and cheese. It is common for pharmaceutical coupons to save you as much as 80% on the drugs that you need. I mean, this could be hundreds of dollars. So how do you find them? Well, you start with the websites GoodRx and SingleCare. Those are services that focus exclusively on prescription coupons. Now, you should also ask your doctor and at the pharmacy counter about manufacturers' coupons or programs. but you have to ask. Sometimes the pharmacy has a sign-up program direct with the manufacturer, but you can't find it online, and they aren't allowed to tell you about it unless you ask. That was today's Work Money Minute. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
What is your drive-through story? I know you have them, folks. I just shared some. I made myself look really silly. I poured my heart out to the Nightlight listeners. So I'd love to hear yours. And you can text us 855-752-4842 and let us know what your drive-through story is. Jim did clarify on the stream. Jim Denny, he is from Appleton. Thanks, Jim, for checking in. We'd like to know where people are listening since we are on statewide. And it's great to have you with us tonight. Do you have a drive-through story? Love to hear it. I know Conrad has one. Conrad, you said you have a drive-through story, correct?
Yes, I do.
All right, why don't you share that with us before we move on to Jake Snell's comedy?
So I got a friend that would do just about anything for $100.
Whoa.
So one of my other friends dared him to go through a McDonald's drive-through, get an ice cream cone, and then when he gets it, dump it on his head. And he took a video of it. He actually dumped it on his head.
Do you have the video still?
I don't.
Oh, we should totally track that down.
I think I could find it, actually.
Okay.
But he does that.
That's beautiful.
He comes back to us and he goes, I'll do another one for $20 too.
20? The second one was going to be $20?
Yeah. He's like, it was easy. I just $20 and I'll do it again.
He's working his way down.
So he does it again. Just sometimes you do something stupid for,
you know, for $100. That's a,
yeah,
that's not even a contest. I mean, you got to do that for $100 is $100. It's just ice cream.
Yeah.
My friend, Dan, after bar time did not have a car and walk. He stood in the drive-through lane and ordered. He was like between two cars, people beeping at him, and he gets up and takes his food. And, you know, I love that stuff.
I'm surprised they let him do that.
Just stupidity. You know, I think it is against the law. Oh, here's another drive-through story I have for you. Okay, so at Starbucks, I went there and I was on my way out of town. I think I was coming to Green Bay, maybe to do this show. I don't know if I was doing this show yet or not, but I got the wrong order. They messed up my order. So, you know, they gave me an Americano with caffeine. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I go, I can't have caffeine this late. You guys gave me the wrong drink. The store was still closed. I think it was just at the end of COVID, maybe. So I went up to, I kind of waved at him from the other side of the drive-through lane. I wasn't like in the lane. And the woman was really sweet. She's like, oh, I'm sorry, we got that wrong. We'll come to the front door and we'll give you the proper order. I said, okay, great, thanks. So I'm knocking on the door. The manager gives me attitude. And she said, you have to go through the drive-through line. I'm like, whatever. I go back. I said, can I get the drink from here? I would have had to walk in front of a car to the window. And the girl goes, the manager says, you can't do that, sir. That's against the law.
I'm like, what?
How is this against the law? Like, you can't be in a drive-thru lane, apparently, when you're a biped. I said, you're the one, you guys messed up my order. I got to go. I can't go wait in a drive-thru line for 20 more minutes because you messed up my order. And my daughter even said, what is it with you and drive-thrus? And they don't agree with me. So, but I've never made money in a drive-through like your friend has. That's brilliant. He's got that business mind.
Good for him.
All right. So Jake Snell is here at 8:20. Matt Gable from the Meyer Theater coming up in just a few minutes. So let's play a little bit. Those of you who are just joining us after President Biden's speech, welcome to Nightlight. We're back on the radio, I guess, and not just the stream, which is great. And how did the speech go, Conrad? Do we have any feedback?
Did we do a poll? I'm not sure.
Should we do a poll?
Yes. No.
We don't really do politics on the show, do we? So it was short and sweet, apparently, because people are already back. So that's good. All right. So at 8:20, Jake Snell, he's a Chicago-based Madison-bred comedian, will be here to talk about his show tomorrow night that he's doing at Comedy on State in Madison and Madison Comedy Week. which is coming up in early August. So we'll talk about that. Here is a sampling of Jake's comedy.
I don't deal with confrontation very well. One thing that seems to happen a lot in public bathrooms is that men try to leave the bathroom without washing their hands. Gross, right? Yeah. Yeah, some of you in here, you sick. But I always feel like I have to say something, right? But no grown man likes to be told what to do like 20 seconds after they had their out. It's just like a weird, confusing time for everybody. Very vulnerable time. And when you have this punchable of a face, you have to be very careful not to escalate things into a real conflict. So I'm always very chipper in how I go about it. It happened at a comedy club I was working not long ago. Guy tried to leave the bathroom without washing his hands, and I just went, "Hey, buddy, you should wash your hands. Otherwise, you're gross." He's like, "What the f*** are you going to do about it?" I was like, "Oh, shit. I was just going to say that and then continue with life." That was my whole... He's like, "Nah, bro, you don't talk to me like that. We're about to throw hands now." I was like, "No, we're not. Yours are still dirty, bro. Why are we talking about throwing hands? Why don't you throw them hands in the sink, pal?" And then I got my ass kicked, and now my jaw clicks when I talk, so... Well, occupational hazard there. You guys, I recently came out to my dad. Why did it take you a second there? Why did it take you a second, liberal Madison? Why did you not? Yeah, I came out to my dad. I sat him down. I was like, "Dad, I don't know if I was born this way. I don't know how that works, but I am a Democrat." So, something you're going to have to be okay with. And he was pissed, I'm not gonna lie. He was like, "You're one of those? Can't you just be gay?" I was like, "Honestly, Dad, I'm just proud of you for now knowing that those are two different things. That's very..." It's very progressive of you. I'm proud of you.
That's great. That's Jake Snell. He'll be here in hour number two. Again, if you're just joining us, thanks for being with us here at Nightlight. Matt Gable coming up in a few minutes. We have, what else do we have, Conrad? I feel like we missed, how long is that Defoe clip? Because we never got to that the other night.
Yeah, it's about a minute.
All right, 30. Do we have time? Let's do that before the break. This is William Defoe talking about acting, and we played a couple clips from his movies the other night, but I love this candid talk he gives to the interviewer.
Now, the good feeling is disappearing. You know, I've said it before, but I think it's as close as you can get. It's disappearing into the flow of things. And then if you've got a good director that's framing it, mm-hmm. and knows where to point the camera and where to cut and where to let things go and where to stop things, some things happening that are worth putting together in a narrative or in a collage or whatever that, you know, is evidence of something alive. There's certain movies that are movies,
right?
And you want to strut your stuff. That's kind of the point. You want to show off. But I don't do too many of those.
Well, there is, I think, a Willem Dafoe thing. At least there was for a while.
I hope not. I don't think there ever was.
You don't think so?
If you think that, you don't know my movies well enough, I think. Maybe that's arrogant of me to say, but I think I mix it up.
You do, but there's an intensity,
that comes through. There's certain things that you can't lose. You know, sometimes my face is naturally expressive. Sometimes I almost have to tame it, because if I let it go, it can go from sweet to grotesque, you know, like like a sports car can, you know. You know, people have sometimes asked me, "What kind of role would you want to play?" And I'm always like, "Get out of here." You know, you don't know the role until you had, and if you do know, you're probably self-serving, some kind of ego thing that you'll be terrible, you know? Mm-hmm. You should always get out of yourself to make something.
That's Willem Dafoe. I love how he shut down the interviewer, too. And the interviewer didn't back off. But good for Dafoe for actually giving it back to him. All right. Matt Gable's coming up after our award-winning news here at Civic Media on Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. President Biden will address the nation from the Oval Office shortly, explaining why he ended his campaign. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the president has no regrets.
The decision that he made on Sunday was about putting country first, was about his party, It was about the American people.
In a fiery address to a joint meeting of Congress, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said his goal is total victory over Hamas in Gaza.
For the forces of civilization to triumph, America and Israel must stand together.
There were some startling revelations from FBI Director Christopher Wray today in his congressional testimony about the man who tried to assassinate former President Trump.
On July 6th, he did a Google search for, quote, how far away was Oswald from Kennedy?
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. High school seniors in Wisconsin will start getting admissions offers from the Universities of Wisconsin next week. Qualified seniors are now automatically admitted to UW campuses without having to apply. There's still plenty to do at the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Here's Lisa Hale.
It's been described as the Olympics of aviation with its international flair and flavor. Director of Communications, Dick Napinski.
We have media representatives, just off the top of my head, Brazil, Argentina, South Africa, Japan, Australia. They're all here. New Zealand is here this year. Certainly a big contingent from Canada. A lot of these aviation people come in, and there are more airplanes on the ground here in Oshkosh right now than they have in their whole country.
EAA Air Venture continues through Sunday at Whitman Regional.
Lisa Hale reporting. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. High school seniors in Wisconsin will start getting admissions offers from the Universities of Wisconsin next week. Qualified seniors are now automatically admitted to UW campuses without having to apply. There's still plenty to do at the EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh. Here's Lisa Hale.
It's been described as the Olympics of aviation with its international flair and flavor. Director of Communications, Dick Napinski.
We have media representatives, just off the top of my head, Brazil, Argentina, South Africa, Japan, Australia. They're all here. New Zealand is here this year. Certainly a big contingent from Canada. A lot of these aviation people come in, and there are more airplanes on the ground here in Oshkosh right now than they have in their whole country.
EAA Air Venture continues through Sunday at Whitman Regional.
Lisa Hale reporting. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high around 80. Heat and humidity building into the weekend, sunny in low 80s Friday, mid-80s for Saturday and Sunday. Scattered showers and thunderstorms Sunday night into Monday.
Right now it's 73.
Uline is here for the hard workers. For the ones rolling up their sleeves, working round the clock, and getting the job done. You're dedicated to doing what it takes to keep a business growing. Uline is dedicated to helping you make that happen. Working 7 days a week, staying fully stocked and ready to ship any of our 41,000 items the same day. Uline, your shipping and industrial supply specialists. Visit uline.com.
To everyone making time for life's best moments, let our team member Sandy share how Culver's is serving up celebration by the scoop.
Our rich and creamy fresh frozen custard makes every day a little bit sweeter. Enjoying a handcrafted treat with all the ooey gooey toppings you love, now that's worth celebrating.
Come to Culver's and let us serve you a sweet treat to make every moment count.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at President Biden's address to the nation and your phone calls as well. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Schwabba.
So I just got a message from Chris Casper, one of our brilliant engineers here at Civic Media. He said, in reference to when I thought the Biden talk was over, he said, we went from Biden special coverage right into Hawk Tua. Perfect. I tried to do that, Chris, just because I knew you were listening and drinking some Maker's Mark. So, all right, that answers our question. All right, we have our first guest of the night has just joined us here in the studio. So great to have this guy here, Matt Gable from the Meyer Theater, the general manager of the Meyer Theater here in downtown Green Bay. And we were just talking about L.A., and you don't like the traffic.
I don't like the traffic there. No. The weather is great. The traffic, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know. You got to plan your life around it. You really do.
And if you have a job, like I tell this to people, and they don't believe me, but I live in the Marinette area now. Pardon me. And when I was in L.A., I had, Starbucks was a block away. Right. Grocery store was a block away. Kids' school was across the street and one block. And I never had to commute. I was a writer. I just wrote movies. So I wrote from home or I go to a coffee shop. My wife is a teacher. Her school was 2 miles away. It was easier for us and more convenient to live in Los Angeles than it is where we are now, just based on the grocery store and Starbucks. Like, honest to God, and this is how
things, I can see that.
Yeah, like Matt, like I'm not kidding. Like when I leave my house and my daughter wanted to go to Starbucks, it's like, oh God, it's like 9 minutes to get there. You know what I mean? Because it's out by the mall.
No,
So anyway, but I hear what you're saying. If I had to commute in LA, I don't think I could ever live there like a job. But what's your commute like here in Green Bay? Because you've been here for 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years at the Meyer Theater. Super blessed to be able to do that. My commute is about 15 minutes. I live in Ledgeview. So it's not too far. So
where is Ledgeview?
Ledgeview, it's over on the east side, sort of off of 43 over there.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so it's great. My kids go to De Pere and all that kind of stuff. So
So you have I'm trying to figure out how I want to start this. How did you get connected with the Meyer? You kind of told me off the air. You came here for a different gig.
Yeah. I actually ran the arena football team for the first 2 years of his existence, and that was played at the Resch Center, as they play now. And then PMI Entertainment Group took over the management of the Meyer Theater. The Meyer Theater is a nonprofit theater, has a nonprofit board of all volunteers. And when I was playing there, I applied for the job, and I've been there ever since. It was either dealing with football players for 9 months or dealing with entertainers for one day. So I chose the entertainers for one day. So
let's get into that. Yep. It's such a great theater. It's so beautiful. And I told you off the air, I couldn't believe when I went in there like 5 years ago, I was just shocked at how the detail and, mm-hmm. and the beauty in the theater. Tell us a little bit about the history of the theater, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, the Meyer was open in 1930, Valentine's Day, 1930. It was a vaudeville theater when it first opened. Just a lot of live performances when it first opened. The history of the theater, basically the silent movies started to happen.
Wow.
And they started doing live and silent movies. Did that for a long time. So then they started getting to, movies with actual color and sound they started doing that, a lot more and started to get away from the live performances. And then I believe, I don't know exactly the time frame. It was in the 70s sometime where they turned into like a triplex, like movie theater. It was called the Bay Three, which a lot of people probably remember that as the Bay Three Theater. Was there for a long time until the late 90s. And then it couldn't keep up with the, other movie theaters, Marcus Theaters, all that kind of stuff. It went out of business. A local group got together and basically saved the theater. Betty Meyer is the one that gave the initial gift to get it going, hence the name. And it opened up in February of 2002, so to what it is today. And I've been there since 2004. So
what, Betty had nothing to do with the theater before it reopened? So what was it called right before it closed?
It was called the Bay Three.
The Bay Three. Okay, yep. Gotcha. All right. Yeah.
It went from the Fox Theater. It was an original Fox.
Right.
Then it was the Bay Theater. Then it was the Bay Three Theater, and then it turned into the Meyer. So.
So let me just ask you before we move on: what's an easier group to deal with, like athletes or entertainers, because entertainers can bring a lot of drama, and sometimes they can be demanding if they can. I've seen that. I've worked with people who are like, they get stuff because they can get it, so they ask for it.
Yeah.
I would think like a semi-pro football team would be almost easier to deal with in terms of...
A lot of those guys think they should be playing at 1265 at the Green Bay Packers, so there's that issue. But the entertainers are tough. I mean, the worst person, I can tell you my 20 years, the worst person I've ever dealt with is David Crosby.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
How so? Can you give us an example?
Yeah. I mean, he just wasn't very pleasant to our staff. I mean, he got so frustrated with the catering. Really, it came down to catering where he went through the line and he was just throwing stuff. The funny thing, Graham Nash is sitting there at the table and laughing. Just laughing. And it was all screwed up. And so basically the tour manager came into my office, slams the door and starts giving me the business, right? And I'm like, that's exactly what you sent me. And he's arguing, we're going back and forth. And I said, no, it's not. I keep all the emails. This is what you sent me. He goes, well, this is the wrong writer. And I said, it's not the wrong writer. This is what you sent me. And I showed him in an email, because you can do that nowadays, right? Technology. So he said, I'll prove it to you. He went back to his bus. He sent me an email, and all it had was the new writer on it. It wasn't timestamped like when he sent it and all this stuff.
Checkmate,
right,
buddy.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't a pleasant experience for my staff, for myself. But that was just one of many. I mean, I have so many people that have been so great. I mean, Joan Rivers was one of the nicest ladies that I've ever had to deal with, which was surprising, you know, with her, you know, history, you think she could be, you know, a lot of drama, she was the nicest lady. Chris Christopherson, one of the nicest.
Love that guy.
Was one of the nicest guys. I could name a million of them.
When was Chris Christopherson there?
That might have been 5-6 years ago.
Wow.
So, yeah.
The stories I've heard about him helping other musicians and just being a great dude, that doesn't surprise me to hear you say
no,
that.
No, I have a good Chris Christopherson story real quick. I don't ever get my picture taken with people because I don't feel that's appropriate to do that, because I'm the one paying them at the end of the night. I'm, you know, dealing with them. I'm just not one of those guys. And it's me, Chris, and his wife, and I'm walking them out basically to get in their car, and she stops me. She goes, hey, do you want your picture with Chris? And I'm like, you know, how do I say no to that?
No thanks.
I'm just like, sure. So I put my arm around him, and we're getting ready for the picture, and I look down and I look at his boots, and they might have been the worst pair of cowboy boots I have ever seen in my life.
How so?
I mean, there was no leather left. They were completely beat up. I mean, they looked horrible. And I go to him, I go, hey, those are cool boots. You know, just making a comment like that, because I was so surprised when I looked down and I saw him that he's wearing boots like that. And he goes, yeah, they're my lucky boots. And I said, huh. I said, oh, that's neat. And he said, they're the first pair of boots I've ever wore on stage.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, wow, those boots should be in the Country Music Hall.
Yeah. So they're like 50 years old.
Yeah. I mean, maybe more. I don't know when he started, right? I mean, he's
probably in his 80s now, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I was like, wow, that threw me off. I was like, whoa,
isn't that one of those things, though, where you go, I know that's a good guy.
Yeah.
Like a guy that would value something like that and share that story with you is just so cool.
And it doesn't, you know, to wear those boots still means everything to him, right?
Yeah.
And so it was cool. I mean, I got a lot of stories like that, but I just been so blessed.
Yeah, that's great, Matt. Yeah. Matt Gable is my guest. He's the general manager of the Meyer Theater here in downtown Green Bay. He just walked down the block, folks. Before we get into some of the upcoming events, do you have a ghost story? Is the theater haunted, or is there legend there?
The theater is haunted.
You say that with authority, like you're sure it's haunted.
Yes.
Okay.
Positive, because I don't really believe in it too much.
Interesting.
But, I had firsthand experience with it, and I'll tell you my story real quick.
Yeah.
I was walking through the theater, and there's something just in theater worlds where you've been in theaters and, you know, that side of the business. There's something called a ghost light that we put out every night that sits at the edge of the stage, and it's supposed to, you know, the whole thing is it's supposed to keep the lights on for the ghosts. Well, really, it's so people don't fall off the edge of the stage you don't have to turn all the lights on is what the real purpose is for, but they call it the ghost light. So the ghost light was on, and it was pitch dark in the theater, and I'm walking through the theater. I think I was heading to the front doors from my office to meet someone or something, and I heard a woman's voice go, "Forgive me for what I've done." And I stopped dead in my tracks, and I I was looking around like under the seats, like I didn't know what to do because you know the hair on your neck stands up and you're like, I don't know. And so what I've learned over the years and what I've known about the stuff is there was a woman that worked at the theater back in the 30s and she had an affair with the general manager of the theater. And one day her husband came to the theater and held the general manager at gunpoint in the basement. And he didn't kill him. I think he was doing it to scare him or to, you know, basically say, hey, stay away from my wife.
Yeah.
But I think I got a feeling it's her that's sort of stuck. And she asked me forgiveness because I'm the current general manager of the theater. And I told her I forgave her. And I have never heard her again or anything. And that's my story. I mean, I don't know if it's...
You said out loud, true. I forgive you?
Yes.
Because there's no one around.
There's no one around.
Oh, man, it's really creepy.
And I don't know. I don't know if that was it. I want to believe it was it. Like, she was stuck there, and she was haunting the theater. And, you know, just other things, too. The things, you know, in the mirror have passed behind me.
Oh, that's the worst. That...
You know, and just stuff like that. I mean, just... eerie stuff, but it's all been friendly. Nothing really like super freaked me out or anything like that.
Do you take confessionals from people typically or
not really. I was very surprised. I don't know if I just, because I was the current general manager and there hasn't been one for a while. And I just said, I forgive you. And hopefully that maybe sent her on her way or to the next life or something. That's what I want to believe.
The thing that creeps me out the most is what you like, even more than being talked to in an empty room or theater, right, is the things passing behind you in the mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
I've hallucinated stuff like that, or just think I've seen something, because that creeps the living daylights out of me.
Yeah, I was downstairs in a dressing room after every show. A lot of us just go down and double check stuff so the coffee pot's not on, or just take some of the garbage and throw it in the garbage, you know, for the cleaning people that come through and stuff. So I was down in the dressing room, and then there's a mirror in front of me, you know, like the mirrors with the lights around them and all that. And in the mirror, I can see the hallway behind me. Someone in black just walks past the door real quick. And I thought my tech guy, Tim, was in the building still. So I called him and I said, hey, you know, you're still here? He goes, no, I'm already on my way home. And
can you come back, please?
Right. I'm like, well, okay. And it was just like a figure walked by in the hallway past the door, and I could see it through the mirror. So, you know, stuff like that. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it happens once in a while.
This is going to sound weird, but if I were a ghost, I think a beautiful old theater would be a great place to hang out.
Yeah.
Where else are you going to go? Right.
I mean, get to see a lot of stuff, a lot of entertainment,
a lot of free shows.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You have, we're going to talk about some of the shows coming up next, and I want to ask you about Frank Hermans, who I have a great history with, and I just love the guy, and, some of the other shows you have coming up. You have an acting background?
I do not.
Or any kind of entertaining background?
Oh, no, that's cool. I think that's why I can look at it the way I do.
Yeah.
I look at it as a business, and I think that's why I've been able to do this for so long.
That's great.
Yeah.
Matt Gable's my guest. He's the general manager of the Meyer Theater in downtown Green Bay. We'll have more with Matt. We'll talk about what shows are coming up. We'll talk about Frank Hermans and the Gatlin Brothers. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. You pick up little dynamite, well, I'm gonna pick up little gun. Every woman I know out tonight, make that highway run. You don't have to call me lieutenant, I don't wanna be your son.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Few Wisconsin events bring 600,000 people together from 80 different countries, but it happens every summer in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh has become synonymous with the world of flight and with EAA.
Dick Napinski's worked with EAA Air Venture for more than 30 years and knows its history. Do you? Where did EAA start? Wausau, La Crosse, or Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The fly-in is spread across 1,600 acres with more than 10,000 airplanes. It brings a big boost to the economy, too.
It's $170 million of economic impact and more than $110 million of direct spending.
So where did EAA start? Milwaukee in 1953 called the Wisconsin Air Pageant with 21 planes. All moved to Oshkosh in 1970, a high-flying slice of Wisconsin. It's happening July 22nd to the 28th. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Sherry from Horicon checks in on the stream and says, good evening, Pete and Conrad and friends. Good evening, Sherry. Sherry, do you have a drive-through story? We'd love to hear it. I'm sure you've visited your share of Horicon drive-throughs. Conrad, do you think there are drive-throughs in Horicon?
Yeah, there is. There's a McDonald's, I know for sure.
Okay. Good-sized town?
Small, I would say.
Okay. All right. Well, good to have you with us, Sherry. As always... Matt Gable is my guest. He is with us in studio. He's the general manager of the Meyer Theater here in Green Bay, the beautiful Meyer Theater. And we were talking about Frank Herman's during the break and kind of some of the things he's done. And you said, you work with him quite a bit at the Meyer. He's got a show coming up tomorrow night, right? Yep.
Yeah, no, me and Frank have a good relationship. We've been working together since 2007 at the Meyer. And Frank has done an amazing job of, you know, what he does and bring his show, Let Me Be Frank Productions, and all the shows that he's brought over the years. It's been, you know, it's just been a good relationship that we've had. So
what can you tell us about Bay Beach Boys? Frank was on the show a while ago and he kind of mentioned it. And then he had some show that was set in the Bay Beach.
Yep. Yeah. I have not seen it yet. Okay. Just got done traveling baseball. I'm a travel baseball dad, actually.
Oh, so, nice.
My son just got done playing travel baseball, so I have not had the opportunity to see it yet. I think it's about Bay Beach and, you know, that whole situation down there and with music from the 50s and 60s and stuff like that. So
you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
I think what you should say is I need to preview every show. Have them do a whole show just with you sitting in the crowd so you can give the thumbs up. Baseball, traveling, Dad. That's a full-time job in its own.
It's intense. I don't know. I got a lot of opinions about it. That's a whole different show.
I know. So. That made me, being a parent to a, I have a son in Little League, and my daughter did gymnastics for all, they did martial arts. The parents sometimes just make me lose my...
The parents are nuts.
They are insane.
And you know, I can't say anything. I am one of those travel, but I played college baseball.
Oh, nice.
So I think I have a different perspective from some of these parents. I don't think you can tell the parents that I don't think have played.
Right.
Or have that kind of experience. Some of them are just, they're over the top.
There was a dad
over the top
in Marinette, and he was pushing his kid. And I'm like, dude, you're 5'8" and have a paunch and Coke bottle glasses. Your son is never going to be a Major League Baseball player. Unless your, you know, wife was an Ali or something. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
So settle down.
Yes.
And just enjoy the fresh air.
Yes. Enjoy your son playing and having fun.
And learning
things. And being out there and learning how to play the game right. And so many parents just need to relax and enjoy the moment. Because you're right. It doesn't happen
for
the majority of them. So
I didn't want my kids, like, I was like, if one of them's a prodigy, okay. But you know, otherwise just have fun. And that was like the sweet spot, is if they weren't quite good enough to be on the travel team. Whew, thank you.
Good.
Do the theater. That's all local.
Saves you a lot of money too.
Yes, exactly.
So,
So, all right, what else we got coming up here, Matt? We got bored teachers I wanted you to ask about. Because I was a stand-up comic for in the 90s. My wife is a teacher. I thought this was a great show, and I reached out to them. I have not heard anything back. But I'd love to have one of these guys on the show and help you guys promote that.
It's sold out.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
That's why they haven't gotten back to me, probably.
This is our second year doing it, and it's all former teachers who have now turned to stand-up comedy.
Wow.
And it's about four or five of them. I can't remember how many were there last year. But they do about, you know, half hour each, 20 to 30 minutes each, and talk about being a teacher.
And
most of the crowd is teachers. And the reason I booked it in August is because the teachers I know are going to be going back to school.
Yeah.
So it's like, and they've been bored, not that they've been bored, but,
right.
you know, they're you know, looking, they're going to be going back to school. Maybe it's a good time to have a laugh or two before they get back into the jungle.
Absolutely.
Of the school, you know. So it's been great both years. So we'll try to bring them back every year if we can. Okay. So,
wow, they sold out too. Because it probably is. You're right. All teachers. I mean, if you're just drawing from this area, that's enough.
Yeah. So it's been great.
Get those teachers together. It's pretty crazy.
Well, I know.
Pretty crazy crowd. Then you got Supertramp tribute band coming October 18th. How cool is that?
Yeah, that's great. I think they're from the Milwaukee area. You know, we've done a lot more. The industry is changing. This is a longer conversation, but the industry is changing a little bit where, you know, a lot of the bands that me and you grew up with are dying off, not having, the singers can't sing anymore, or the band broke up, or some of them have passed away.
Right.
You know, so, you know, a lot of these tributes are bringing a lot of that back. Plus the tributes are more affordable because the music industry, it's starting to become, I don't know, the ticket prices are getting outrageous. It's getting hard for people to even afford to go to a show.
Yeah.
So it's this is a nice way for them to hear their music that they grew up on and enjoyed, and not for too expensive and for a night out. So we have been doing some more tributes. That also is based on the size of the venue we have as well, because we have 1,000 seats. So, you know, we can only do so many acts. I did a lot more shows. Give you an example, like America. We had the band America.
Oh, wow.
Twice. And now they're so priced out of what I paid them before. You know, it's just not even economical for me to do it. I'd have to charge $150 for people to come see America now. And I don't think they've had any new music. So, right. Which, by the way, both great guys. They're both great.
I love their stuff. Yeah. But yeah, no, I agree. It's great. It's like I talked about this before. All my life, I wanted to take my kids to see Springsteen. I've seen him four or five times. And he was touring last year, and I almost paid $2,400 to drive to Minneapolis. And luckily, the Wrigley Field seats went on sale. I heard about that. So I didn't have to pay the ticket fee or the broker fees.
Right.
Four tickets, because my wife could go then too, were like $490 for four tickets. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a lot still.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
he's a legend, and it's the actual guy.
Right.
So I was happy to pay that. And I think I almost paid $2,400. It's crazy. But America, so Supertramp, here's another show you have coming up, Matt, that I think sounds really fun. Yesterday Once More. It's the music of ABBA, The Carpenters, The Fifth Dimension, and The Mamas and the Papas.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just a group that, you know, is just doing all the songs of those groups. And, you know, we get a lot of people out just because they love the music.
Dance
you know?
Around.
And it's a $40 to $50 ticket. It's not a $75, $80, $90 ticket. You know,
you have to come and see that one. Can you stick around for a few minutes?
Yeah,
I want to ask
you
what you're watching on TV and to see if you've taken your kids to any of the summer blockbusters. So we'll talk about that next.
Yeah,
you can give that some thought. Matt Gable is here from the Meyer Theater here in downtown Green Bay. And we're talking showbiz, theater, and we're going to come talk some movies and TV. And maybe a little more about what's coming up at the Meyer. We'll do that next on Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Stay tuned for Civic Media's award-winning news team right now on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Pat Kreitlow. Thursday morning includes our Women Win Wisconsin segment and a visit with Joe Zepecki as we digest the significance of this week's Wisconsin political headlines.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Dino! Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive.